Good morning. Take a breath. And check your cell phone. You know, if it rings, it creates more heat. Make it silent. Stand up. Let's get this going. Let's sing Use Me. The words are in your bulletin. Sing out, Louise.
Use me, oh God, I stand for you, and here I abide as you show me all that I must do. Come and my hands, what must they do? Come and my life. It's here for you. God is the love that heals all creation. God is creator, makes all things new. And God needs us to shine his light as me, as you.
Yeah, I see you fanning. Those bulletins come in handy, don't they? Louis sends his love. He is the wedding master, and he is doing a wedding right now on a beach, nowhere near the shade, in a robe, in a collar. But you're not afraid of the heat. Look at you. You got here. Or did you just hear there's air conditioning in here today? Yeah, that's it. Dare you to turn it on. Whee! Hi, good morning. I'm Britt. I'm Britt Hall, and I'm the spiritual director here at Unity of New York. And It's really good to see all of you here this morning in the middle of August. The middle of August. Not that it feels like it or anything. Speaking of weddings, I did a wedding yesterday afternoon. Look at me, sorry. I did a wedding yesterday afternoon outside. Yeah. I'm not kidding. The groom looked at me more than he looked at the bride because he was so amazed at how sweat was just going like this down my nose through his entire ceremony. He told me that afterwards. It was pretty. But anyway. So happy, happy Sunday to you. Today we are so blessed. We are always blessed when Reverend Diane Burke is with us. From One Spirit. Adrian Buckley is here today. And Spiritini is here today. It's August. A lot of people are away in Spiritus. And always, always, most importantly, you were here today. Each one of you. I'm so grateful. Is there anybody that's here today for the very first time? Please stand. We would love to tell you good morning. Happy, happy Sunday to you. Our ushers are walking around with welcome packs with some good stuff in it. It tells you more about unity and about who we are. And we're just so glad that you're here. And there's a little visitor ribbon that you should have. Is it in the visitor pack or is it in the outside of the visitor pack, the visitor ribbons? Oh, they're back there. I'm glad I asked. They're back there. We would love it if you would take one because they're really nice. And don't think they're wasteful just because you'll only need it today before you come back to join us again. Because you won't be a visitor again. Is there anybody here from another unity today? Anybody in the house? Where are you from? Daytona Beach. Wow. Awesome. How long have you been here? Oh, well, thank you kindly for bringing the heat from Daytona Beach. We love you. I'm actually from Florida, not far from there. So people are like, you should be used to this. I'm like, yeah, 30 years ago I was. Hi. Who? Rochester. Welcome. I have a friend that just moved from Florida to Rochester to get away from that heat. And she's going, yay, Rochester heat, yay. Anybody else, another Unity? Where from? Unity Downtown. Where's Unity Downtown? Oh, Midtown. Downtown from here, but Midtown. Well, welcome. Please give Justin our love. I haven't seen him since the conference. Everyone, please stand and tell each other, happy Sunday. Meet someone you don't know. We are back. Happy Sunday. Hey, Aaron. I really love watching this from up here every Sunday. I wish all of you could come up and see that. Maybe some Sunday we'll do that. Never mind. If all of you came up here to see it, there would be nothing to see. Never mind. It's hot. You know? Sorry. Take a look at the front of your bulletin, if you will. And let's look at our affirmation today. I am willing to fulfill my divine purpose, to walk in the direction of hope, vision, and possibility. I am willing to fulfill my divine purpose, to walk in the direction of hope, vision, and possibility. Take a breath, and let's know that together. I am willing to fulfill my divine purpose, to walk in the direction of hope, vision, and possibility. Okay, now you've read it one time. Let's let it sink in a little deeper together. I am willing to fulfill my divine purpose, to walk in the direction of hope, vision, and possibility. And now we just allow that to sink in a little deeper. We allow ourselves to settle in to the seat, to this moment, to this very present time in this space. Willing to be present, willing to fulfill each of our divine purposes. Individually and collectively, we walk in the direction of hope, in the direction of vision. We walk in infinite possibility. We walk where feet may fail to walk. And as we breathe in this very present moment, we feel a coolness moving down from the top of our head all the way down our face, down the top of our body, our torso, all the way down through our legs, down to our feet. We feel a coolness, and we feel the presence of Spirit coming forth from each and every one of us here today. And we give gratitude in advance, knowing that we will receive exactly what we need today. Because we said yes to this divine appointment, because we showed up, walking in the direction of hope, vision, infinite possibility. And if you are in agreement, together we say, and so it is. Amen.
Good morning, Unity. My name is Jerry Rosenbaum. I'm blessed to be one of your prayer chaplains and really honored to read today's daily word. And also know that after the service, we will have prayer available in the West Gallery. I really needed this one today. I live in the grace of God. Grace may appear in my life as forgiveness, a way through a seemingly insurmountable challenge, other people, or a divinely inspired idea. Grace is evidence of the love of God that, while unearned, is still freely given. It often comes to me in ways totally unexpected, and at the time it is most needed. I am surrounded and enfolded in God's love. One of the most beautiful ways that God's love reveals to me is through grace. While I cannot do anything to earn that grace, I can hold to the faith that what God wants for me is always in my best interest. Whatever my circumstances seem to be, I look for the seed of blessing contained within. I find a confirmation of God's love in ways that sometimes seem miraculous. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Ephesians 4:7. Now please welcome our soloist, Adrian Buckley and Spiritus.
Great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. Abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't start now. My soul rests in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, you are mine. Oh,
trust is without borders, me walk upon the waters, wherever you will call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Spirit. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you will call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Spirit.
Thank you, Adrian, Buckley, Leo, Carly. Thank you. Carly, thank you for stepping in at the next to the last minute. That was awesome. Tony said, oh, I'm not going to be there Sunday. We got invited to the beach. I'm like, oh, I hope you find God there. Thank you. Thanks. I love changes of plans. That's awesome. Well, if you were here a few minutes ago, you already know that Reverend Diane Burke is with us today. And we are blessed, and we are grateful. And she is one of my favorite people on this planet. I can't even begin to truly imagine how many people this woman has helped on their journeys around the world. Through her work, through One Spirit, she, wow. Just wow. Just wow. Please welcome Reverend Diane Burke.
I'm also the crew.
Thank you, Brett. Good morning. It's always such a joy to be here at Unity. On April 18th, 1906, at 5:12 in the morning, a major earthquake hit San Francisco. About a minute of terrifying seismic shaking toppled many, many buildings, cracked and shifted many others, collapsed chimneys, broke water mains and gas lines, twisted streetcar tracks. After the shaking came the fires caused by the broken gas mains and collapsed chimneys, and made worse by missteps and misguided policies on the part of local authorities. Nearly 5 square miles and 28,000 structures were incinerated. Nearly every municipal building was destroyed. About 3,000 people died, and half the population of the city was left homeless. mansions, slums, middle-class neighborhoods, businesses, newspaper offices, warehouses, were all reduced to rubble and smoldering ash. But the massive destruction, the chaos and the horror and the loss of this terrible event were not the entire or the final story. Within a very short time, the community, the people, came together in remarkable ways. And this is something that happens almost inevitably after a tragedy or a disaster. Those of us who were here in New York on 9/11 remember so vividly what it was like in those days and weeks following. Complete strangers extend themselves in unbelievable generosity and compassion. People pour themselves out tirelessly in practical, tangible expressions of caring and taking care of one another. Rebecca Solnit writes that we glimpse paradise right in the midst of hell. Across the bay in Oakland, after the San Francisco earthquake, many of the supplies and much of the help that was needed came from Oakland. And there was a little 8-year-old girl living there who watched what was happening. She saw her mother and other adults around her taking care of strangers, complete strangers, in a way that she had never seen. And she saw with a child's clear-sightedness, she recognized that this was something they already knew how to do. That people loving people, being responsive to the suffering and the needs of people around them, is already a natural part of who we really are. And so this 8-year-old girl asked a question. She asked, why can't we live this way all the time? Why can't we live this way all the time? That little girl's name was Dorothy Day. And that question and that glimpse of what Martin Luther King called the beloved community that she had as a child became an animating force in her life. She grew up to found the Catholic worker movement with its houses of hospitality. And she devoted her life to seeing and welcoming the Christ in the person of the poor and the broken and the suffering. The questions that we ask are so important. A few weeks ago, one of our One Spirit staff members asked me a very simple question. Why do you minister? And he asked me to try to answer that question simply in just a few short phrases. I've been doing this work for almost 30 years, and I realized no one had ever asked me that question. So I thought about it. And a number of different things came to mind, but none of them seemed to really capture the essence of what this work is really about for me. So I put it aside. I went through my day. I went to sleep. And when I woke up the next morning, my answer was there. I minister to create spaces where hearts can open, where transformation and healing can happen, and where people are empowered to live their life purpose in service to the world. For me, that's what ministry is. And when I looked at what I had written, I realized that for me, I minister in order to give people an opportunity to experience the beloved community, to experience it and know it as something real, so that they can, in their own way, go on to share that experience and create those kinds of spaces and embody the reality of the beloved community in their own lives. I believe that this vision, the vision of the beloved community, is already alive in the deepest part of our hearts and alive in the hearts of most people. And I believe that our world has never hungered for that more deeply than it does today. I also know that it's really challenging to hold on to that vision in the face of what's happening around us, in our country and in our world, in the face of the hatred and vitriol being expressed in our political discourse, the violence in our communities, and the violence happening in just horrific ways on the world stage. In the face of the economic uncertainty and the food insecurity and lack of food that exists for so many people in our own communities and around the world. In the face of the racism, the sexism, the homophobia, and the many, many forms of bigotry, oppression, and injustice that are still to this day embedded in so many of our institutions and social structures. In the face of the destruction of the earth, of the environment on which we depend for our very physical survival, the disappearing of wildlife habitat and the threatened extinction of countless species of life on the earth. In the face of all of that, and we have to be willing and courageous enough to look at and tell the truth about all of that. How do we not collapse in discouragement and despair? How do we not give over to the cynicism and the temptation to otherize and to blame? Where do we find the resilience, the energy, and the hope to keep going? To keep choosing love, despite the fact that fear and separation seem to be carrying the day. These are the questions that I've been living with, especially over these last few months. And I imagine that they are also the questions that many of you have been living with as well. So in the time we have left, I want to share with you some of what I've been reading and some of what I've been reflecting on that has been helpful to me, that I hope will also be helpful to you. One of the most important books that I've come across and read is a book called Hope in the Dark by historian and activist Rebecca Solnit. This book was first published in 2005, shortly after the re-election of George W. Bush, when a lot of us were really depressed. And Rebecca Solnit says that she wrote the book really to cheer up and encourage her activist friends and to offer them kind of a longer and bigger perspective and some solid ground on which they could find hope. A new edition of the book was re-released last year with a new introductory chapter and afterword. What she writes about in the book is that the future, she says, is dark. But dark, not in the sense of negative. Dark in the sense that we can't see into it. And so we don't know what's going to happen. The future is uncertain and unknowable. But it is that very uncertainty that creates the possibility of hope. One of the things that we can know by looking back through history is that inevitably the future will be surprising. It will contain things that are unpredictable, even unimaginable from where we stand now. And some of those surprises may turn out to be negative, but some of them may actually turn out to be miraculous. This is what she writes. Hope is not about what we expect. It is an embrace of the essential unknowability of the world, of the breaks with the present, the surprises. Or perhaps studying the record more carefully leads us to expect miracles, not when and where we expect them, but we can expect to be astonished. As an example, she points out that even a few months or weeks before the Berlin Wall fell, no one thought or knew that was going to happen. And no one expected that within a few years after that, the Cold War, which the world believed was going to last for centuries, that within a few years, the Cold War would be over in the dissolution of the Soviet Union. 10 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago, the idea that a conservative majority Supreme Court would make marriage equality the law of the land was unimaginable. And it happened. Solnit also points out that these sudden, world-changing events, in fact, were the result of thousands and thousands of small actions. Thousands and thousands of small choices and decisions and conversations by ordinary people that took place over a long period of time and often were not even seen or recognized by the collective. Again, she writes, hope locates itself in the premises that we don't know what's going to happen, and that in the spaciousness of that uncertainty is room to act. When you recognize uncertainty, you recognize you may be able to influence the outcomes. You alone, or you in concert with a few dozen, or several million others. Hope is the belief that what we do matters, even though how and when it may matter, who and what it may impact, are not things we can know beforehand. We may, in fact, also not know them afterwards, but they matter all the same. The fact that the future is dark means that all of the worst case scenarios and all of the best case scenarios could happen, and that which it will turn out to be depends very much on whether or not and how we choose to act now. The future is dark, Rebecca Solnit writes, with a darkness as much of the womb as the grave. I love that. The darkness of unknowing can be the fertile darkness of the womb in which unimaginable possibilities can develop and be born. But the reality is that many of us find uncertainty really uncomfortable. It's really scary not to know. And so, rather than summon the courage and build the spiritual muscle to walk in the unknown, it's often much easier to retreat into a kind of mindless metaphysical optimism. Oh, it's all gonna be fine. Which means I can just sit on the couch and not do anything. God will take care of it. Or to retreat into a cynical pessimism. Well, look around, it's all going to hell anyway. So again, I might as well just sit on the couch and not do anything. Hope, on the other hand, calls us to action. It says, dare to recognize. Dare to recognize that what you do matters. In ways that you may never see, or know, or understand. It calls us to be emotional and spiritual adults in the world, and to really accept our responsibility as co-creators of the world that we and our children and our children's children will live in. And we'll share with all of humanity and the whole of creation. That sense of responsibility can also feel scary. It can feel overwhelming. And that's the last thing that I want to talk with you about today. In the Jewish tradition, that responsibility is called tikkun olam, the repair of the world. In Kabbalah, the mystical teachings of Judaism, we're told that in the beginning of creation, there was only a holy darkness, the Ein Sof, the source of life. But at some point, this world of multiplicity, the world of a thousand things, emerged as a powerful, great ray of light. But something happened, and the vessels that were meant to contain that light couldn't hold its intensity, and they shattered. In that moment, the wholeness of the world, the light of the world, scattered into a thousand fragments of light, divine sparks. And those sparks fell into every event of history and every person and everything. And they're still there, hidden today. According to this tradition, humanity itself is the response to this shattering. We are here in this world because each of us is born with the capacity to find that hidden light in people and events and things, and to release the sparks, to lift up that light and make it visible again, and restore the world to wholeness. Rachel Naomi Remen is a medical doctor and author who was told this story when she was 4 years old as a birthday gift from her grandfather, who was a rabbi and mystic. And she writes, "This is a collective task. It involves all people who have ever been born, all people presently alive, all people yet to be born. We are all healers of the world. It's not about healing the world by making a huge difference. It's about healing the world that touches you, that's around you." And she goes on to say, "I think that we all feel that we're not enough to make a difference, that we need to be more somehow, wealthier, more educated, or somehow different from the people we are. But according to the story, we are exactly what's needed. We are exactly what's needed." And just to wonder about that a little, what if we are exactly what's needed? What then? How would I live if I knew that I was exactly what's needed to save the world? These are not rhetorical questions. They're the kind of questions like the one Dorothy Day asked as a child that can become animating forces in our lives. The other thing that I read recently that I wanted to share with you is an interview with Sister Simone Campbell, interview that was done by Krista Tippett. Sister Simone is a lawyer, lobbyist, poet, contemplative, and she's one of the nuns on the bus. For those of you who remember the nuns on the bus a few years ago who traveled around the country, traveled around the country doing voter registration drives. She's the executive director of something called Network, which is a Catholic lobbying organization that has a mission that includes mending the wealth gap, enacting a living wage, and crafting a faithful budget that benefits the 100%. Sister Simone is a character. And she points out that those of us who really care deeply about social justice and about the existence of so much suffering in our world sometimes feel like the entire burden rests on our shoulders. She says, "I sometimes think we ought to do something about everything, and that it's my job to fix everything. Well, it's not. That's way beyond us. It's more important that we learn to listen deeply to the nudges within us and around us, and then see where it leads. That's the peace. If we all do our part, whatever our part is, that's all we have to do. Community is just about doing my part. She talks about the image in Scripture that we are one body. And she says, you know, not everyone is an ear. Not everyone is the eye. And she sat down in meditation one day to try to figure out what her part was. And she decided that she's here to be the stomach acid. As a lobbyist, that was a really appropriate image. Stomach acid metabolizes the food, it generates heat and energy. It does all kinds of good and beneficial things. But, she said, it also needs to be contained. And if it runs amok, it can do a lot of harm. So those are lessons that she needs to understand about her part as the stomach acid in the body of God. What I love about that is it's so clear that we don't all need to have a glamorous part. We simply have to recognize our own gifts and know that what we have to offer is an essential part of supporting the health and well-being of the whole. And that the beloved community happens when we offer what we have to offer and we receive with graciousness and real appreciation the gifts of everyone around us. And so she says, what we are really called to is a life of learning to deeply listen to the voice of truth inside of us, to the nudges, the opportunities, and the calls of the people and the world around us, to offer whatever it is that we have to give, and then to walk willing through our lives and through the world, giving generously, receiving graciously, lifting up and encouraging the people around us, and creating our small piece of the beloved community wherever we are. I'll end with a passage from Krista Tippett. Love is the only aspiration big enough for the immensity of the human community and challenge in the 21st century. People who have turned the world on its axis across history have called humanity to love. It's time to dare this more bravely now in our midst, and dare learning together how love can be practical, creative, and sustained as a social good, not merely a private good, stepping out of fear and into care, and realizing our natural belonging to one another. We're called to love. Thank you.
Reverend Diane Burke, thank you so much. You, for me, you're kind of like the spiritual NPR. I always feel a little wiser and calmer after you've shared your insights and your heart. Stomach acid. You see that on a business card? Brit Hall, S.A. Even if we don't know what is in the darkness of the future, and even though we know that the past is now done, we know that that time in the womb, in the soil, is necessary, and that we are blessed and have all that we need in every single moment. And we know that together. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that I am.
We take a few deep centering breaths together. And allow ourselves to move deeply into the space of our hearts. The place of our deepest longing. And we feel within us our deep longing to live within the beloved community. And we remember a time in our lives that we caught even the smallest glimpse of what that's like. Perhaps you have felt that here on Sunday mornings. Or within another spiritual home. Perhaps you have experienced that with one other person. With whom you felt truly seen. And accepted. And loved. Perhaps somewhere in nature, a simple sense of truly belonging, and being safe. As you remember that experience, let the energy of love you felt there surround you and flow through you now. Waking up every cell, enlivening, healing, in truth, when we experience this, we don't want to keep it to ourselves. We long to share. To extend the beauty of this love to others around us. So feel that longing in you as well. And imagine that by each of us, in the most natural ways to us, can extend that energy and experience of love of love for the world. Take a few moments now to allow love to flow through you and from you. Into this space we share. As the beloved community.
has contentment been so hard to find? So many men reaching out their hands, our brothers and sisters in so many lands. If ever kindness was needed, then it's crying out to us, the time is now.
I want the peace, I want the love for all the world. People of joy, with children of hope for all the world.
Spirit of light, I'll be a light that you shine through. For you are the peace and you are the hope for all the world.
What's it gonna take before we show some charity? Compassion and love the way it's meant to be. Who'll take the time for the ones who truly need and pray for the nation that's out on the street?
The peace, I want the love for all the world. People of joy, with children of hope for all the world.
Spirit of light, I'll be a light that you shine through. 'Cause you are the peace and you are the hope for all the world.
Freedom and teach it to our children. Let the pipes of peace ring out and know the grace of God will lead the way.
I want the peace and I want the love for all the world. People of joy, with children of hope for all of the world. Spirit of light, I'll be a light that you shine through. 'Cause you are the peace and you are the hope for all the world.
You are the peace,
you are the peace,
and you are the joy.
I'm Robert Yarnell. It's my pleasure to serve on your board of trustees. There's ushers coming down the aisle.